the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, wherever you are. We're going to speak about thinking well of Allah on the program. Today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about thinking well of Allah.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. Until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Thursday, is the first of Rabi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless the Holy Quran. We'll look at verse 16, chapter Ar-Ra'd.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل من رب السماوات والأرض قل الله قل أفاتخذتم من دونه أولياء لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا قل هل يستوي الأعمى والبصير أم هل تستوي الظلمات والنور أم جعلوا لله شركاء خلقوا كخلقه فتشابه الخلق عليهم قل الله خالق كل شيء وهو الواحد القهار.
Say, who is Lord of the heavens and earth? Say, Allah. Say, have you then taken besides him allies, not possessing even for themselves any benefit or any harm? Say, is the blind equivalent to the seeing, or is darkness equivalent to light? Or have they attributed to Allah partners who created like his creation, so that the creation of each seemed similar to them? Say, Allah is the creator of all things, and He is the one, the prevailing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One can infer from the verse that the process of creation is a continuous matter, and Allah is continuously shedding rays of existence, in which case every being is benefiting existence from his pure essence from moment to moment. Therefore, the process of creation and administration of the world of existence are both in his own power, just like the oneness of creation. Remember, we're speaking about thinking well of Allah. Thinking positively of Allah is a great act of worship of the heart, but many people have not understood it correctly. Thinking positively of Allah means believing in what is appropriate to Allah. May He be exalted of names, attributes, and actions. Believing in the great impact that they have on His creation, such as believing that Allah bestows mercy on those who deserve it and pardons them if they repent and turn to Him, and He accepts their deeds of obedience and worship, believing that Allah has great wisdom in all that He wills and decrees. Whoever thinks that thinking positively of Allah does not have to be connected to striving is mistaken and has not understood this act of worship correctly.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with a new topic, inshallah, to discuss with each other. The topic that we want to discuss it today is having full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is in Islamic terms called husn al-dhann billah. We should cut our hope from anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to know that our only hope in material and spiritual affairs, not only in material but also in spiritual affairs, is in God, in Allah. Both material and spiritual matters, and both of them, our only hope should be in Him. That's, we trust in Him. He is our, whether we are talking about this world and the, let's say, the word in terms of material issues or in terms of spiritual and hereafter issues. So in both sides, we need to have full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our only hope is Allah. There is no doubt about it. But also, we have to know that He is a knot breaker. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are the one who actually make knots. But we have to pay attention to the fact that we can tie the cord ourselves. Yeah, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is a knot breaker. He is the one who opens the knots, and we are the ones who actually create and make and tie knots into each together. So we have to be afraid of our own sin, as it says in hadith, وَلَا تَخَافَ إِلَّا ذَنْبَكَ. Don't be afraid of anything except your sin. We have to understand that it's us who are tying ourselves in our material and spiritual affairs. So we need to trust in Him in order to actually break the knots.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
From the ways to get closer to Allah at home, we have reading the Quran. There are so many benefits of reading the Quran. Prophet Muhammad said, "Whoever recites a letter from the Book of Allah, he will receive one good deed as 10 good deeds like it." I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but rather Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. This is the time to take the best opportunity to fill in as much time with the Quran. A great way to keep yourself alert and active simply by reciting one page after every prayer or listening to the beautiful recitations while doing your work. Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah. On the continuation of today's special, thinking well of Allah when you are tested. Tests come to us in a myriad of ways. We should just know that thinking well of Allah should make us look beyond the test. This test is something from Allah, and He wants to teach us, to purify us from sin, to strengthen us, and to bring us closer to Him. We do not have a cruel God. Our God is the most merciful of those who show mercy. When we approach our tests with that frame of mind, we cannot but gain from our experience, inshallah. Just as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny told us that Allah is too gracious to turn away the hand that asks Him. He's also too merciful to disappoint you and your good opinion of Him.
That's why we have the problem of depression in our societies, because many people don't really believe in the Day of Judgment. The belief in the Day of Judgment actually gives you hope. 60 million Americans are suffering from depression. Why? One of them is this. Do they truly believe in the Day of Judgment? That is why the belief in the Day of Judgment is central to the religion of Islam. So this believer makes a sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this sin, that calls on my punishment. I have to punish him in this life and in the hereafter. Allah says, however, فَأَنظُرُ فِيمَا صَلَاحُهُ مِنْ آخِرَتِهِ. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't rush. He doesn't hasten his punishment. Allah says, I look at his best interest. What's his interest for the hereafter? This person had committed a sin. A lot of the dealings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with us, brothers and sisters, are based on our interest, if we only knew. We're always nagging and objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't realize that what Allah has done to us is actually in our own interest. Allah says, I look at the interests of this person. My believer has committed a sin. Should I punish him in this world or in the hereafter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أُعَجِّلُ لَهُ عُقُوبَةَ ذَلِكَ الذَّنْبَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah says, because I have mercy on my servant, I will hasten the punishment here in this life. So he does not have to deal with this sin on the Day of Judgment. Which one would you rather choose, brothers and sisters? Deal with the consequences of your sin in this life or on the Day of Judgment? In the grave or here? I tell you, I can't handle the punishment of Allah in the grave on the Day of Judgment. But I can handle the difficulties of this life. The punishment that I get in this life. It's possible. It's not the end of the world. Allah has given me the patience to handle it.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special under the title of Thinking Well of Allah. That's a nice topic, so inshallah we're going to continue to discuss about it. So be with us. We leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a short and sweet saying worth pondering upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of the Prophet of Islam. Reasonless laughter is a sign of ignorance. Thank you.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about anxiety, jaza, which we say in Arabic. This is a very pertinent and relatable subject, especially today when we have, so much discussion these days about mental health and stress and depression, anxiety, these kind of things, right? A lot of people are turning towards, psychologists, psychology, psychiatry, these kind of ulterior methods of the suppression or the alleviation of anxiety and depression and these kind of things. Forgetting that we have many solutions to this problem in religion. And, religion has offered many solutions and remedies to these problems. It really behooves us to kind of take a look once again at this subject from the point of view of religion. In the Holy Quran, we read the following. Indeed, man has been created covetous, anxious when an ill befalls him, and grudging when good comes his way. When something bad happens to him, he becomes anxious, right? He becomes depressed, he becomes sad. He becomes agitated, right? And when good comes his way, he becomes grudging, right? This is in the nature of man. Right? But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah detests two sounds, the sound of wailing at a catastrophe and the sound of a flute in the time of prosperity. Right? This actual anxiety or depression or nervousness that we feel and which we express, you know, in the form of, you know, complaining and these kind of things, right? And whenever something bad happens, this is actually something that Allah doesn't like, right? We should try to, prevent this from occurring. It's not even technically a disease. It's not an ill as, you know, it has been described as being today, right? Today they call these kind of things, you know, a disease, right, which should be remedied through counseling or medicine or whatever. Right, but here, according to this hadith, right, this is actually something that Allah abhors. It's a sin. It's reprimanded, right? Right. So it's different from a disease in the technical sense of the term. In a similar fashion, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Beware of anxiety, for it cuts off hope, weakens action and brings sorrow." But this doesn't mean that religion doesn't provide any solution to anxiety, right? Or that it doesn't have any remedy for it. For example, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Overcome anxiety with patience. For anxiety erases Allah's reward and augments the catastrophe," right? The problem that we are undergoing, which has caused an anxiety attack or whatever, right? It's augmented by the anxiety that we're overcoming. How do we overcome it? Through sabr and patience. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at anxiety in the words of Imam Ali and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International Schools. Here we have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, right?
Yes.
And Hussein Ruhullah, yeah?
Yes.
And Brother Ali Nasir. So I really welcome you all here in this session. Welcome. And salam, how are you? Good, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine.
Yes.
That's great. So, brothers and sisters, as you're listening to us, inshallah, in this session, again, we're going to hold a very important Quranic session for you. Inshallah, we'll be explaining, as previous sessions, we'll be explaining, inshallah, some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then we'll be working on the Tajweed rules. And we will be reciting and practicing, inshallah, these verses with Tajweed rules. So, brothers,
And also brothers and sisters who are listening to us and brothers who are here. Inshallah, today we'll be talking about Ayah 44 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Make sure you stay with us till the end of this session. But before we start, everyone, let's listen to the recitation of this Ayah.
أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون.
So now, inshallah, I'll be reciting. Make sure you listen, trace, and then repeat, inshallah, after me. All right? Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب
أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب
أفلا تعقلون
أفلا تعقلون
أحسنتم. So, something important is here in this ayah, okay? Allah Almighty says, أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تلون الكتاب. Allah Almighty says that, are you like commanding others to do good things? Okay, are you commanding like other people or enjoining other people? Hey, people, do good things, be respectful, be kind to each other. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ And you've forgotten yourself? You're not kind? You're telling others to do so, but you're not doing it by yourself. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ Will you bid others to piety and forget yourselves? Okay? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ While you recite the book. The book here is the Quran Karim. Yeah. While you recite the Quran Karim, okay? Do you not apply reason or don't you really understand? So, the message of this ayah, shortly, I will tell you, but make sure you refer to the Tafasir book, okay? Interpretation books for more and better and explanations. So, the thing is that if we are Muslims and we are inviting other people to Islam, you know, nowadays, most of the people, not Muslims, those who do not care about Islam, those who think that Islam is not a good religion, they do not like Islam, actually, okay? Whenever we talk about Islam, they say, well, forget it, Islam, terrorist, that's all. Yeah, they say this way.
Yes.
It's just because those who call themselves Muslim, okay, they are doing things which are not in the religion. They are inviting... So we are inviting people to do good things. But when they see other Muslims, okay, who are not really Muslims, when they see them doing just the opposite, they say, look, this is Islam. Yeah, this is so bad, okay? Whenever we invite people to do something, first and foremost, we have to be doing it, okay? We should be the first to do so, okay? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, I never... tell people to do something if I do not do it myself. Okay, if Imam Ali alayhi salam was inviting people to do justice, to be fair, to be just, so he was the first person who was doing this. Yeah?
Yes.
So it's so much important. Oh, okay, وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ And we forget ourselves. In the next ayah, Allah Almighty says in the other surah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Why do you say things that you do not apply in your words? Okay, why, for example, a person says that, oh, Fawad, be careful about your morning prayer, okay? Do your morning prayers. But he himself does not wake up early in the morning. Okay? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ You're reading the Quran, you're knowing, oh, these are the rules. These are the commands of Allah Almighty. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Why don't you pay attention? Why don't you apply reason. Okay, why don't you think about it? Look, we have a hadith, okay, says, رُبَّ تَالِي الْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُمْ. There are a lot of reciters of the Qur'an Kareem. There are some reciters, or a lot, or some. رُبَّ means a lot, or sometimes some, okay? There are some reciters. There are some people who read Qur'an, okay? Who are the readers of Qur'an? They're reciting the Qur'an in a beautiful voice. As if people, oh, he is the one who knows the Qur'an the best. But really, in reality, the Qur'an sends la'anat upon them. Why? Because they do not ta'aqqul, they do not apply ta'aqqul reasoning. Okay, they just read it. Yeah, they just read it.
They don't understand.
Yeah, even if they understand, they do not care. The money is being charged, that's it. They get the money and recite, they get the money, that's enough. They don't care about understand. So, may Allah Almighty, inshallah, help us stay strong on the path of Allah Almighty and be amongst those who not only read the Quran but understand and apply also the Quran, okay? Inshallah. Yes. So, this actually it is a command to the Bani Israel, to the scholars of Jewish people, okay? That you're reading the book, your book as well. And the Torah that's written, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet. Believe in him. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't you pay reasoning, pay attention? Why don't you apply reasoning? So, it's all races, I told you.
هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ يُوَحِّدُنَا لِطَرِيقِ الْخَيْرِ يُوَجِّهُنَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنْزَلَهُ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ مُعَلِّمُنَا وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ مُعَلِّمُنَا هَذَا
الْقُرْآنُ. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, let's go for the tajweed rules here in this ayah. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ. Make sure a hamza is pronounced correctly. Do not say أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ or أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Sometimes people say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Yes, أَعُوذُ. أَتَأْمُرُونَ. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ. Okay, تَأْمُرُونَ. Then Hamzat al-Wasl, Lam al-Ta'rif plus sand letter. Okay,
yeah.
You have to skip Lam as well and Hamzat al-Wasl as well. Hussein, how do you say? How do you read this?
أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ.
نَنَّاسَ. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ. Make sure, okay? I told you the sign, it's very easy. That tashdeed on the top of noon in the word nas, that helps you a lot, okay? To understand that you have to join the previous word to this noon.
Yes.
Not lam, not hamzatul wasl. نَنَّاسَ. Join it.
إِدْغَام مِثْلَيْن.
Yeah, إِدْغَام مِثْلَيْن. نَنَّاسَ. Like إِدْغَام مِثْلَيْن. It's actually إِدْغَام. So, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. بِالْبِرِّ. Ra was a temporary heavy letter, yes?
Yes.
Here it has a kasra.
So it's not light.
بِالْبِرِّ. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ.
Yes.
وَتَنْسَوْنَ. تَنْسَوْنَ. Nun sakin. Fawad. Plus seen. Rest of the letters. What
إخفاء.
Rule is ah, إخفاء. Hide the sound of the letter noon. Ali Nasir, read this. وَتَنْسَوْنَ.
أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ.
Why do you tell us to apply the rule of light letters and the letter Ra and you do not apply it by yourself? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ.
Okay, I'll fix it.
Fix it, okay?
أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ.
Ah, that's it. But you didn't apply the rule إِدْغَام in the word نَاس. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. All right? لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Okay. وَتَنْسَوْنَ. وَتَنْسَوْنَ. أنفسكم, the same, both are إخفاء, right, Hassan?
Yes.
وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم, again, the same إخفاء. Three إخفاء so far.
Yes.
One إدغام in the word ناس, and three إخفاء تنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب. Make sure the sound of ta shouldn't be so much clearer. Look, تتلون. No, not this. Ts, not this sound. Tat. وأنتم تتلون الكتاب. Not. وأنتم تتلون الكتاب. Not that sound. Okay. Ta. All right.
Okay.
Make sure. Sometimes it happens.
Yes.
كتاب. مد.
ألف مد.
ألف مد will be changed to a longer مد. وأنتم تتلون الكتاب. And the letter ba, the harakat of ba, which is a fatha, will be changed to a sukoon. And qalqala will be applied. Normal qalqala. So, how do you say this, Hussein Ruhullah? وأنتم, recite it.
وأنتم تتلون الكتاب.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. أفلا تعقلون. أفلا تعقلون. All right. So, there is no other rule. So, if you're ready, Hussein will be reciting this ayah. We will be listening, okay? One, two, three, Hussein.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون
الحمد لله أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much, brother Hussein. Thanks, brother Ali Nasir. Thanks, Fawad. Thanks to Hassan Nasrullah. Inshallah, in the next coming sessions, we'll be again continuing our Quranic sessions. Stay with us, inshallah. Make sure you practice and refer to the tafsir or interpretation books for more explanation about each verse of the Quranic Karim. That's all for today. Thanks to Allah Almighty who blessed us for today's class. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. See you inshallah in the coming session. Stay with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil fajr.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Azam, ghayru din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the medical issues according to Ayatollah Khamenei, let me ask you this question. If a boy and a girl, God forbid, had a legal physical relationship resulting in the girl becoming pregnant with an illegitimate child, all right?
Yes.
In this event, that later they marry each other legally, of course, is the child considered legitimate or illegitimate?
The marriage contract concluded after fornication or adultery, of course, God forbid, does not change what happened previously.
Mm-hmm. Or prior to the marriage.
Yeah, prior to the marriage, you're right. Therefore, if a girl, let's say, conceives before the legal marriage contract, the child is illegitimate by birth, and therefore all the consequences should be understood in that context, that the child is illegitimate.
Would you give some examples of those consequences?
Yeah, of course. The consequence is that the child, an illegitimate child, cannot inherit. He does not inherit. She does not inherit. And of course, as a legitimate person who by birth was born illegitimate,
mm-hmm.
cannot lead a congregational prayer. He cannot become a judge, a Muslim judge. And these are some of the consequences of illegitimacy of birth.
Yes.
Illegitimacy of birth. So no matter what is going to happen after fornication, whether the boy and girl marries each other or not, or they do not marry, in either case, in both cases, of course, the child will not become legitimate by birth.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much. My next question, Sheikh Javid, is that some hereditary diseases, such as thalassemia and sickle cell anemia, spread in our society very much, spread like wildfire, which have negative effects on children. And some of them are very dangerous, perilous. If a man marries a woman who conceives and then comes to know that the fetus suffers from any of or one of these diseases, is it then permissible or is it good enough reason to abort the pregnancy?
Just as I said in one of the previous answers to your question, I think it's it's not my answer. It is the answer coming from the Risala or the Manual of Islamic Laws authored by His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. It's not permissible to have abortion under any circumstances, like the example you gave. For example, a child suffers from a disease and that disease might spread, okay. Or maybe the child might be born with a disease. Okay, the disease, every child might, have some kind of health issues or health conditions. And these health conditions do not become a license for termination of the pregnancy. And therefore, a man, or a woman should not, let's say, under these excuses, go ahead having abortion. And it's very much prudent, very much important that the man and the woman should, go for premarital screening or the medical tests that are now carried out in order to reduce the possibility of such diseases, and therefore it's very much important that the man chooses a woman who to marry after careful examination and to ensure the safety of his offspring and to ensure that he will of course have children, healthy children.
Mm-hmm.
That these precautionary measures should be taken. Of course, and if it's not taken, if there is a child that's going to be born with a disease, or maybe the child is likely to be born with a disease, these excuses or these causes, these reasons cannot be an excuse, a valid excuse, or an acceptable excuse for termination of the pregnancy.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. For this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We are still talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the medical issues with Sheikh Javid. You, kindly answered lots of questions that I raised regarding the medical issues. I would like to ask you another question, Sheikh Javid, and I would be delighted if I have your comment on this. What is the ruling on using contraceptives such as tablets, injections, coils, insulation, suppositories, cervical caps, ointments, and the like?
Good. We have already answered this question, but now you're giving me some very good examples like, you know, injections, you know, cervical caps and so on.
Yes.
These are the contraceptives methods used nowadays. They are very much current. Of course, all of them are allowed if they do not lead to the termination of the sperm after it has been, conceived, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, a woman is already pregnant and the woman takes the tablet to kill the, you know, there are such in
yes.
scenarios. A woman feels, okay, very strongly
yes.
that she is very much likely to be pregnant. And then she
right.
jumps into action and takes, you know, a tablet or does something to terminate the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's not sure, but in the event that she has a strong feeling that she is pregnant, she cannot use these contraceptives, which somehow prove to be fatal and to be deadly, and which might cause the death of the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to make sure that she is not pregnant, otherwise she cannot use any of these contraceptives. Of course, some of these contraceptive methods are not deadly.
Mm-hmm.
They can be used.
Mm-hmm. I see. Quite related to what you tried to imply in the answer to the previous question that I raised and I asked you, what is the ruling on using contraceptives when one does not know how those contraceptives work and effect?
Generally speaking, contraceptives are allowed, and when one does not know, when a woman does not know that she is pregnant or that she has conceived, she can use all of those contraceptives provided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
yes.
discussed it in one of the episodes that the contraceptives must not terminate, must not cause permanent, destruction of the uterus, or it should not. It should not be irreversible. Of course, if it is reversible, there's no objection. Otherwise, it is problematic.
Mm-hmm. And Shashavit, as the last question, I would like to ask you about a birth control method. Is it permissible for a woman to perform a procedure called tubal ligation as a birth control method with the husband's consent?
Well, as long as the husband is consenting to it, it is permissible. And as I said, if it is a reversible contraceptive method, which means that returning to the normal state is possible at any stage, and whenever the woman actually wants to return, then there is no objection in it. It is permissible. The husband's consent is required. But of course, when just change the scenario and go the other way around, like for example, if the husband wants to use vasectomy,
mm-hmm.
he does not need his wife's consent and permission. But if it's the other way around, of course, the wife should take her husband's consent